Good evening and welcome to the local news. Today is Wednesday, July 3rd. I'm Lauren Schmidt, reporting for KMUD. In tonight's news, PG&E advises all customers to prepare for unexpected outages due to wildfires. Fire professionals urge prevention measures for 4th of July. And Friends of the Lost Coast organize post-holiday beach cleanup. Stay tuned, news on those stories and more coming right up.
Today, California began entering an extended 8-day heat wave with temperatures that will be in league with the all-time high records for an unprecedented 8 days.
I'm Scott Strenfell here. I'm one of the meteorologists that are covering this event 24/7. And so essentially, we have a very strong ridge of high pressure that's going to move over California over the next week and park. What we're going to see over the next 7 days rivals some of our biggest heat waves that we've ever experienced in the PG&E service territory. And so we're going back to and looking at July 2006 and September of 2022 to get some comparisons with what we're going to see. You know, there's not only going to be daily temperature records being broken and potentially some all-time temperature records potentially being broken, like Redding at 118 might be met or might be exceeded. But one of the things that we're very concerned about with this heat wave is just the prolonged nature of the heat wave. Locations like Redding, Red Bluff, Fresno, Bakersfield are forecast not only by us, but also by the National Weather Service to exceed on their maximum temperatures 110 for 8 days in a row. And that has never happened before. The longest stretch of 110 plus temperatures in Redding, for example, has happened 6 times in history. And Fresno, Bakersfield, something like 5 and 4 times. And so we're looking at a stretch of 8 days at least.
The heat events incident commander with PG&E explained what they've been doing to prepare over the last week.
Mark Quinlan, incident commander for our event here. We've been closely monitoring and actively preparing for this event dating back to the weekend when we activated our emergency operations center. We're making every effort to prevent power outages and restore them if they happen as safely and as quickly as possible. A lot of proactive actions being taken by PG&E. We've inspected all of our critical substations to ensure all equipment is operating properly and no apparent issues. We have flown helicopters on 50 transmission lines just to proactively patrol to make sure that we don't see any evidence of any type of a tree or anything that could come in contact with our lines and disrupt service. In addition to that, we have our Hazard Awareness and Warning Center, the HAWC as we refer to it, that's staffed 24/7, as are our electric transmission and distribution control centers and our electric dispatch center, all hands on deck in a readiness posture to respond to any trouble that comes our way.
Public safety shutoffs are not expected to impact the K-MUD listening area, but utility personnel at their press conference this Wednesday, July 3rd, advised all of their customers to be prepared for unexpected power outages over these 8 days. For example, there's currently a large outage in Butte County because a fire there is impacting their lines.
There's several active incidents across the state. Yesterday, it was the large fire Thompson fire up in the Oroville area in Butte County. We had some transmission lines that were impacted as a result of that event from the smoke. It caused the lines to operate automatically. But CAL FIRE was asking us to de-energize sections of our system for firefighter safety so that they could get in there with initial attack operations. And then the other large fire that we're monitoring is called the Basin Fire, which is near French Gulch, Southern Sierra Nevada foothills. Those are the two biggest fires that we have right now. No indication of any PG&E involvement. We're just partnering with the agencies who are running these incidents and giving them everything that they need to be successful.
Meanwhile, it is possible to get paid not to use your power during these high demand events.
And so we also have programs for both residential and business customers to help stabilize the grid. These are called demand response programs, and they provide a financial incentive for customers to shift or reduce their usage during critical times and high grid use when the demand is the highest. So to learn more about those programs, you can visit our website at pge.com/demand-response.
In our region, according to the National Weather Service, Ukiah was 111 degrees today, with 109 forecast for tomorrow before climbing back to 111 through the weekend. Willow Creek was 108 degrees today and may get as high as 115 degrees by Saturday. Garberville and Laytonville are both projected to be around 105 during this time. Alder Point is forecast to be slightly cooler at 100 degrees. This is Kelly Lincoln for KMUD News.
As reported on last night's newscast, the National Weather Service in Eureka announced that the record-breaking heat wave has started to peak and will bring relentless major to extreme heat risk all week to much of the interior, putting all people at risk for heat-related illness without adequate cooling and hydration. Multiple cooling centers have been open in Humboldt and Mendocino counties. This week's heat wave has fire personnel on edge, as the 4th of July holiday has historically brought fire to our rural and isolated communities, like in Shelter Cove, where locals take to the beach to ignite illegal fireworks. On Monday of this week, we spoke with Shelter Cove Fire Chief Nicholas Pape, who remembers the 2013 incident where homes were lost in the cove.
2013 Little Black Sands fire, it burnt up and scorched two homes and actually melted the wires in behind the siding on one of the homes. Fire department made a great stop, overheated our brand new truck, trying to flow enough water to knock out the head of the fire, and made a stand. And after that, the community came out in force and said, we're no longer going to tolerate the Wild West 4th of July activities that were happening previous to 2013. 2014, we all came in hard. We had a lot of help from our law enforcement partners and confiscated, wrote a bunch of tickets. They brought the sheriff's office van down to make a bunch of arrests. And what we saw by that max enforcement was people got pushed out of the beach and kind of spread out all over the place. And we are, you know, honestly lost control over what little control we had, which was the Shelter Cove Marina and shooting the fireworks over the ocean. So since then, we've pivoted. We brought on our CERT crew, and they've been amazing. Since that fire, we haven't had a fire get over a quarter acre on 4th of July, knock on wood. But it really leads to our rapid response. So we pre-position. This year, we're going to have 20 firefighters and five different engines fully staffed. We're also going to bring in Whale Gulch Fire on a mutual aid agreement. We're going to basically hire them to come out and help us for our critical time of need, which is about 7 o'clock to 10 o'clock, just to help with that. And you know, if anything happens on the other side of the hill with Whitethorn or in Whale Gulch, we'll be sending our resources that way to help them as well. Since that fire, our spotters have called in over 100 different nuisance calls. So whether it be illegal fireworks getting shot off on the airport or cul-de-sac, they call that in via our local radio, and it doesn't overwhelm our dispatch center in Fortuna, and it allows them to run the other everyday EMS and traffic collisions and other fires in the unit. And we're able to kind of contain Shelter Cove on its own incident action plan within the development. It's been highly successful the last over 10 years now that we've been doing it.
To prevent a series of sprawling incidents, Shelter Cove Volunteer Fire is encouraging individuals to use their Amnesty Safe Harbor Zone on the beach by the Shelter Cove boat launch if they intend on setting illegal airborne fireworks. However, further south on the coast in Mendocino, Westport Volunteer Fire is asking all to refrain from setting aerial fireworks, which have caused major incidents in the past.
Well, my name is John Allison. I'm a member of the Westport Volunteer Fire Department. We cover a response area of approximately 190 square miles. I think it's very important to try to avoid using fireworks. It's extremely dry. Usol Beach is within a response area. and it takes an hour, even going code 3 with lights and sirens, it takes an hour to get from our firehouse down to the beach because the road is very challenging. And I understand there are already 250 people at least camped out, ready to, you know, engage in festivities. And just please, don't get involved in fireworks. It's very dry, the humidity is low, and the best way to deal with fire safety is prevention. So we really ask people to be aware of how dry things are and how, frankly, dangerous it is to set off fireworks at this time.
In 2019, a fire broke out on Usal Beach due to illegal fireworks, where campers became trapped.
Not just Usal, but there's Blues Beach. We've had, I think it was 2 or 3 years ago, we had a fire start. Somebody aimed some bottle rockets towards dry brush, and dry brush caught on fire. There's the Haven Beach, Western Union Landing State Beach, and it's awfully tempting to, you know, get in a celebratory mood and start letting off crackers and fireworks, and we're just asking people to just not do that this year.
For more helpful tips on how to prevent wildfire starts from fireworks and other devices, we spoke with CAL FIRE's Mendocino Unit.
Ryan Smith, Deputy Chief of Fire Protection Operations for Mendocino Unit. So for fire prevention coming into 4th of July, obviously, or I hope it is obvious that fireworks are illegal throughout Mendocino County, so that includes Safe and Sane. So we do, unfortunately, see them every year pop up, particularly on the coastal area on the beaches and along some of the swimming holes in the rivers. And it is routine to see ignitions, you know, 1 to 2 a year out of that. So we ask people to please refrain from use of fireworks.
As people hit the road to enjoy the extended holiday weekend, cars are another common source of ignition.
People are traveling a lot for 4th of July. A lot of people taking travel trailers up 101 and out Highway 20 to the coast, and dragging chains that have not been properly secured with the towing vehicle will produce sparks and start roadside ignitions. So that's another one to please be, you know, have people be cognizant of and double check those. Some other things, campfires and barbecues, common thing 4th of July. People are cooking, and again, we see it a lot on the beaches along our riverside swimming holes and in the coastal area, but open pit barbecues should not be in use, especially in the inland corridor along the riverway where we got really dry receptive fuel beds in the coast. I'll defer to, you know, state parks. There are places you can use those, but they should be well within, you know, non-flammable areas, you know, sandy areas, free of vegetation, that sort of thing. And then campfires should be to designated pits with plenty of defensible space and means to extinguish any escape fire.
The deputy chief also recalls the Usal Beach fire.
A couple years ago, we had Usal, you know, state park, that we had a pretty significant fire, a couple hundred acres. That was a fireworks-caused ignition. During that particular 4th of July, we had a pretty significant wind event that came in alignment with that. That was a driving factor, but this year we're looking at some different conditions of just really extreme temperature and low relative humidity, low fuel moisture through the 4th of July. So we do see the coast area for ignitions just because the amount of traffic we see out there for 4th of July, just a lot more human traffic lends itself to higher probability of ignition. But again, we see it all up and down the 101 corridor as well. So I would say in and around the Ukiah Hopland area, especially when it's a hot, a lot of people swimming along the river, that tends to be problematic for just potential for starts. And then, like I said, we have had that historically on the coastal area as well.
He explained that individuals found in possession of illegal fireworks could face repercussions.
Yes, there are. And possession of illegal fireworks is a misdemeanor. And depending on the quantity and type of firework, that can be escalated to a felony violation. And we do have fire prevention officers that will be in full enforcement through the 4th of July weekend out patrolling various parts of the county.
Folks who would like to learn more about fire preparedness can go online.
ReadyForWildfire.org has a lot of great information. And as much as we hate to say it, always check that ready, set, go. Have your go bag packed for evacuation should that ever happen. Because as we've seen in past years, when we do get a devastating fire, it comes very quick. And when we have to put out those evacuation orders, we want people to be able to have what they need and get out as soon as possible. And so as much as we hate to say it, be prepared. Check that. Check your go list every once in a while, making sure you have medications, anything you're going to need for at least a three-day period to be self-sufficient and be away from your home.
All residents are encouraged to visit their county's website to sign up for emergency alerts. In Humboldt, that's humboldtgov.org. In Mendocino, mendocinocounty.gov. And in Trinity, trinitycounty.org. If the worst is to happen, Ryan Derby with the Humboldt County Office of Emergency Services implores all to know their evacuation routes and zones.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, every 4th of July, we're encouraging residents to utilize safety in everything that they do. I mean, this holiday, you kind of get the perfect storm of people enjoying adult beverages and playing with fire during what's, you know, typically the hottest and most fire-prone time of the year. So with this extreme heat, my concern is that, you know, one rogue spark in some light fuels or dry grassy areas could start a fire. And we want to really emphasize safety and awareness. So if you are looking for information on, you know, how to sign up for Humboldt Alerts, you can go to humboldtgov.org/alert and subscribe to our mass notification system. And also the Genesis Protect website has a listing of all of the pre-designated evacuation zones in Humboldt County. We're hoping that neither of those systems have to be used over the holiday system or holiday week, rather, and that people are just exercising safety and enjoying the holiday in a safe and responsible manner.
Earlier this Wednesday, the remote southern Humboldt community of Honeydew saw a wildland fire. Another reminder that fire season is here.
Yep, this is Battalion Chief Jeremy Ward with the CAL FIRE Humboldt Del Norte Unit Fire Prevention Bureau. So this afternoon around 2:40 p.m., our command center did receive a report of smoke in the area, and this is in the area of the Matole Road near Roscoe or Lindley Roads. So we did start a full wildland dispatch, and units arrived at scene and reported that it was a small spot. I believe the initial report was approximately 30 by 30 in the vegetation. We did get other aircraft and equipment at scene. And I believe the fire was stopped approximately a tenth of an acre or so. So we do still have resources at scene. They're continuing to get full control of that fire and get the fire mopped up, and unknown commitment time on those resources.
As of news time, the forward progress has been stopped at 0.8 acres, and the cause has not yet been announced publicly. But Jeremy Ward, battalion chief with CAL FIRE's Humboldt Del Norte unit, says this is an example of why individuals should practice vigilance in fire preparedness and prevention.
Oh, yes, absolutely. With the weather conditions that we're experiencing right now across the north part of the state, we're in some pretty bad fire weather conditions right now. They just broke a fire up north in the, I believe it's in the Salmon Mountains, and that sucked up quite a few pieces of aircraft. That fire, just looking at the column on it through the Alert California cameras, it has a pretty good column on it, and it looks like it has significant potential. There's already been a number of other fires that have broken in the state this afternoon. And again, all those, every time we have a new start, that always takes up resources and you know, commits them. Even if it's a small fire and commits resources for maybe even just a few fires like this fire out off of Matole Road, you know, that's, again, taking resources away that may be needed somewhere else. So all these fires, if any of them that are preventable, you know, folks need to do their part so that we can, you know, minimize that risk out there not to commit those resources and not put people and property in danger.
If people do want to enjoy fireworks on the 4th of July, Ward gave the green light for licensed shows, which will be taking place in Eureka and Benbow tomorrow, Thursday, July 4th, and in Fort Bragg on Saturday.
So generally, the shows that we have that are licensed, permitted shows, those generally do not have a problem. Those are put on by trained professionals. They have safety plans. They have experience. And they also have, you know, a fire safety plan with usually multiple responding agencies set in place. For example, the Benbow Show, which is set to occur again this year, generally that's attended by CAL FIRE, Garberville Fire, and Rio Del Fire, and possibly some other agencies as well. And again, it's well planned out. There's plans as far as who's assigned to what locations, where the water supplies are, who will take command. All these things are already planned out.
But the battalion chief pointed out, even the licensed shows aren't without their risks.
The only issues that we've had are some small spot fires that they're able to pick up with some firefighters with say, backpack pumps in the area. And again, that's because it's a well-planned out location. It's in an area where they've already pre-treated some of the fuels, and there's, you know, minimal fuel loading. However, other shows or other unlicensed displays of these aerial fireworks, we have had more significant problems with. Last year, there was, I believe, on the 4th of July, I know there was at least four separate fires that were started all through the use of illegal fireworks.
While safe and sane fireworks are illegal in Mendocino, they are permitted in Humboldt. CAL FIRE says celebrate responsibly and prevent firework incidents.
Again, just a reminder that any of those types of aerial fireworks or fireworks that explode, again, those are illegal, and only safe and sane fireworks are allowed in California, and again, only in certain places. So folks need to make sure that they understand the local ordinances that may apply and whether or not they can use those safe and sane fireworks where they intend to. And also, just folks are going to use safe and sane fireworks, make sure that they're using them in safe locations. And have water or a bucket of water or a fire hose or garden hose, something nearby. And then finally, you know, if another option for folks is to just go see a professional licensed and permitted shows. We definitely recommend that to folks. It's a good way to get out and celebrate the holiday and a much safer option.
When using safe and sane fireworks, remember to only use them outside. Never to light them near dry grass or other flammable materials. Light one firework at a time and have a bucket of water and a hose nearby. For more information on the 4th of July festivities taking place locally, we spoke with the Southern Humboldt Chamber of Commerce and Eureka Main Street.
I'm Yvonne Hendricks. I'm the Executive Director for the Southern Humboldt Chamber of Commerce and Visitor Center. So we are getting ready for our 4th of July celebration down at the Benbow Lake State Park and Benbow Valley. So this year, our event is going to be staged in essentially three different locations. So location number one will be 390 Benbow Lake Road, and that's on your way to the entrance to the Benbow State Park. And in there, you'll find our musical pavilion with our musical lineup. And we have the Time Travelers from 1:30 to 3 p.m., Irie Rockers from 3:30 to 5 p.m., and then we'll close out this evening with Jimmy Jeff and the Gypsy Band from 5:30 to 7 p.m. In this little area, we'll also have a unique array of vendors setting up, so we encourage you to come down and check them out and enjoy some great music. Location number two will actually be at the Benbow State Park Recreation Area. And so we have a couple of food trucks down there. We encourage you to come down, find a spot early in the Benbow State Park and make a day of it. Invite your family and friends for a barbecue, frisbee toss, and volleyball. There is a parking fee at the state park. It's $20 per car. And then at the end of the evening, around dusk, our fireworks will start. It's a professional organization. The Chamber of Commerce has worked with them for a number of years, Pyro Spectacular. They're also the ones that are hosting the fireworks show tonight in Fortuna. So yes, they are the ones that secure the fire permit. We do keep in contact with them and with our local fire agencies. So we work with Garberville Fire District, Redway, and Cal Fire. We are just hoping for a good, safe fireworks display, safe time for families, fun time for families. Yeah, so come on down to the Benbow Valley. There's a lot to partake in down there.
My name is Amanda Krushke. I am the executive director of Eureka Main Street, and we host the 4th of July Festival in Eureka. It begins at 10 a.m. and goes through 5 p.m. We have two live music stages that have local performers, and we have a bunch of food vendors and other vendors and other activities throughout the day, including tours on the Mattaquette Bay Cruise. The Old Town Carriage is giving carriage rides, and the speeder cars from the Timber Heritage Association. And then after the festivities in Old Town end at 5 p.m., then people can go select a spot along the waterfront to watch the fireworks display over Humboldt Bay, and the fireworks display starts at 10 p.m. You can go to eurekamainstreet.org or on our social media accounts. We're on Facebook and Instagram. Also, you can go to visiteureka.com. They should have the full lineup as well. Personal fireworks are prohibited. We have a lot of old historic buildings down here that we're trying to protect. So let the professionals do it and leave your personal fireworks at home.
To learn more about both events, you can follow the Southern Humboldt Chamber of Commerce and Eureka Main Street on social media.
Justin Krellen with Friends of the Lost Coast spoke with KMUD News about two projects they are involved with in Shelter Cove this weekend. On Friday morning, after the 4th of July, the Shelter Cove community gets together to clean up litter and fireworks left behind from the party the night before.
4th of July is just a huge celebration in Shelter Cove, and as much as we encourage the community to clean up after themselves, there's always debris that's left over, and obviously with the tides coming in and out, it's important to get out there as soon as we can after the fireworks. And so with the activity of marine mammals on the beach and obviously just wanting to keep a pristine beach environment there, it's important to get out there as soon as we can to pick up trash left over after the 4th of July celebrations. And so it's going to run from 9 a.m. to 12 p.m. We'll be meeting at Malcolm's Park in Shelter Cove and are inviting the Shelter Cove community and other local folks to come out and help us clean up after the 4th of July celebration. While this has been an annual thing in Shelter Cove for a while, for a number of years, obviously, it's something that Friends of the Lost Coast has been officially spearheading for the last couple of years as part of this Adopt the Beach program. Again, it runs from 9 a.m. to 12, and we supply gloves and trash pickers, bags, and buckets.
Thanks to a grant paid for by the Whale Tail license plate fees, people under 18 years old can get a stipend for helping.
We also are offering stipends for the beach cleanup for youth. It pays $10 an hour, and it's open to youth 10 to 17 years of age. This is made possible by a grant from a whale tail grant through the California Coastal. It's a great way to involve youth in the stewardship of the local coastline. So for people that want to either RSVP for the event or sign up for a stipend, they can do so by emailing taylor@lostcoast.org. Taylor Faye Benedict is our environmental education coordinator, and she also runs the Adopt a Beach program that we do in Shelter Cove.
Justin says the cleanup folks will be meeting at Malcolm's Park.
We'll be meeting at Malcolm's Park where the lighthouse is, and then we'll be working both in the area of Malcolm's Park, along Lower Pacific Drive, Point Delgada, and then, of course, down the boat ramp on Shelter Cove Beach, which is generally where the most work needs to be done.
Friends of the Lost Coast is busy this 4th of July weekend. They are also participating, along with the BLM, in coordinating volunteers for 4 days of trailhead hosting.
In addition to counting visitors and getting a sense of you know, where they come from and how they're, you know, how they're using the King Range. We also interface with them about beach safety and, you know, information about Shelter Cove, the King Range, and it's a lot of fun. We have a beautiful perch right there above Black Sands Beach. It's interesting to see how many folks, you know, come to this area. People from all over the world are visiting the Lost Coast.
Justin says they're especially looking for the early risers.
And there's no experience needed. We have shifts available for all 3 days. I mean, all 4 days, rather. Our morning shifts from 7 a.m. to 10 a.m. Are the ones that are in greatest need still at this point for filling. But if people have other availability throughout the weekend, they can email me at justin@lostcoast.org. To find out more information or to register for a shift.
And this is Kelly Lincoln reporting for KMUD News.
That's all for tonight's broadcast. Thank you for listening. Thanks to our engineer, Larry Lashley. And thanks to our reporter, Kelly Lincoln. And a special thank you to Lois Cordova, Lisa Music, and all on the KMUD News Emergency Response Team for assisting in today's reporting. Reporting from our studio in Redway, I'm Lauren Schmidt.